Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move.
Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are, be sure to listen, hit that subscribe button and the notify bell right next to it on YouTube, and listen to us on wonderful podcast apps out there. Whatever podcast app you might be listening to us on, be sure to hit that subscribe button, little download button, whatever it is. Leave us a rating and review. It always helps the show.
Yes.
I'm running on fumes right now.
Me too. We should get some coffee before we stream today.
Oh, God. We have to do that, too.
Yeah.
We just not do bad wrestling today?
No, we should.
I kept on thinking this is the last thing we're doing. Oh, but we get Sam Slippers today.
No, we don't. He's not a never overweight champion anymore.
The GOAT.
Is. I have to find someone.
The new. That's right. Now you have to do that. That's a lot of fun. We're on the twitch.tv/Steven Larson for our live gaming shows every Monday and Thursday.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun.
It is.
Anyways, that's not what this is. This is our
real news here.
This is our weekly wrestling dirt sheet.
Or dare I say, real. And it sounds like 205 Live, maybe WWE as a whole, is getting a real upgrade. Because according to PW Insider, it's like Triple H is taking the reins, baby.
This is the game now. This is my show.
At least 205 Live. This is what PW Insider has to say. As of last week's episode, kicking off the tournament for the vacant WWE Cruiserweight Championship, Vince McMahon has stepped aside and is no longer... So excited, I can't even read. No longer personally putting 205 Live together. Hooray!
I put the old man out to pasture. I took him to the woodshed. They said, no more, Dad. Now this is the games show.
Yeah.
It's the game show.
The game show, yes.
Yeah, 205 Live.
They continue. PW Insider has confirmed that the series is now being overseen by Triple H, who has brought back many of the hallmarks of the Cruiserweight Classic, including the style and presentation of the cruisers inside the ring, while Vince McMahon had been personally working with the 205 Live stars to bring out the personalities, present them in a certain light. There has been more focus on the in-ring work and competition under Triple H's vision. Great. As we've seen in the last 2 weeks, matches, improvement. Less backstage stuff, a few more iPhone promos, but that's fine as long as there's a good balance between various styles of promos. But the last 2 weeks, I think, bookended by two really, really good matches.
This is, it's very exciting. I mean, this is originally when they were doing 205 Live, I forget exactly, I'm sorry, the Cruiserweight Classic, and there was this talk about, you know, doing 205 Live. I was a huge advocate for just sticking to the competition aspect of things. There were some successes when it came to doing the personality-based stuff.
Drew Gulak.
We talked about that on the 205 Live NXT recap episode this week that went up yesterday.
I would say Mustafa Ali, too. They've done a really good job of showcasing his personality.
You know, I think Mustafa Ali has done a really good job
because
he seems to be taking the initiative. And he did that promo that I kept on talking about this past week.
Yeah, that was great.
That I think could be a really, really great blueprint for how to proceed with 205 Live. We both think that the presentation aspect of things
still needs work.
Still needs to work, but this is a great step in the right direction.
Yeah.
I also believe that it needed a good infusion of fresh talent, not to speak ill of any of the talents already there, but they brought in Roderick Strong, which immediately makes a massive difference. I think that he's terrific. He's one of my favorite wrestlers in the company right now, and he is exactly, I think, what 205 Live needs.
Yeah.
So this is fascinating on for a couple different reasons. You know, first and foremost, obviously, is Vince McMahon stepping away, Triple H stepping up, and lo and behold, it's a lot better.
Improving.
It's better. It is better.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, but Triple H, he really seems to have a grasp on what these shows should be. I mean, you look at NXT, which is essentially his thing. And my God, it's my favorite hour of TV every week in wrestling.
Yeah.
You look at 205 Live now, and they're getting these dead crowds who had to sit through subpar SmackDowns, and they're getting them to be chanting, "This is awesome," mm-hmm. and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You add a couple other names, Gargano maybe Leo Rush, and mm-hmm. you have some must-watch TV there.
Yep.
And then they can really start focusing on if they want to do the touring show again, because then people are, you have to turn around the perception that 205 Live is a dumping ground.
Yes.
And you and I have never believed that, but we've always believed that there was that perception out there. A lot of other people do believe
because
that.
The company is traditionally, since it's started airing, treated it as an afterthought.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it's been the leftovers.
Yeah, and it
like
seems
literally.
Like the company who's putting on the show doesn't really care about it, and why should the viewership,
mm-hmm.
the potential audience for the show? I mean, we watch it because we really enjoy the talent. We enjoy the matches when they're allowed to do what they want. But, yeah, absolutely, I agree.
Triple H's mantra, since he's been taking on more of a front office role and a talent relations role.
More but better.
Has been, well, yeah, more but better. Has been... Look at all the variety out there in the wrestling world. Let's give something for everybody.
Let's embrace that.
Yeah.
The diversity there is out there in mm-hmm. the art of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
And let's give people a wide that diversity. Let them enjoy what they enjoy.
Exactly. And I do think that, I mean, look, I understand that the reality of their they are doing, they got rid of Pyro. They're in sort of a cost-cutting mode.
I've wondered if they have not done anything with the United Kingdom division show for that same reason.
And it could very well be, and it could also be, look, you and I both know what 205 Live could be. This could be a really, like, you look at the talent there, and it can be, it could just be the place. I've said it before, it could be the PWG of the WWE. And I understand that, when you're on a limited budget, you want to do things with the most, budget efficiency that you can.
Yeah, the cost-effective way you can do things, yes.
And so shooting it when they shoot it is obviously a necessity.
Yeah.
I would love to think, though, that, especially if Triple H is expanding his team, kind of, like they're bringing in Jeremy Borash,
mm-hmm.
They can allocate somebody to oversee production on, it might be a pipe dream, but on a 205 Live proper show, like not just a leftover show from something else, but like you can get some hot crowds.
Put in a 1,000-seat theater or 500-seat theater.
I would think that you could make money off that.
Oh, yeah.
I would think. I mean, I don't know the exact details of, like, for example, Cedric Alexander's, or even do the kind of thing where, like, in the UK division, they have Pete Dunne. He can fight wherever he wants to fight, as long as it doesn't conflict with, like, a previously held WWE schedule.
Have them under non-exclusive contracts.
I mean, yeah, have the 205 Live division doing that. I mean, I don't really see... I mean, yeah, could you bring him to Raw for matches? I mean, you can still do that.
Well, I still think, even if you repackage the show, smaller venues and all that, you can still have crossover, have them show up on Raw, and have Raw and SmackDown people show up at a 205 Live show. Man... That would pop the crowd.
You know, it would be really...
And if it's a really vibrant atmosphere and a really exciting crowd, people might want to show up there to be involved.
And here's the thing also. Yeah, it's like when Seth came back to NXT for that one thing. What could be really fun, I've always said this, is... So, imagine if John Cena came to PWG.
Yeah, you're obsessed with that idea.
People would go nuts. People would go absolutely nuts. I'm obsessed with that idea. I love the idea. But it could be the same... If they built something with Pete with 205 Live... Where there almost became kind of like the Full Sail thing,
mm-hmm.
where there's almost a cult of that crowd that's really into it. And then you bring somebody in like a Roman Reigns, and how that crowd would treat him could be really, really fun. It's something really, really different. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of like ways that I think they could package 205 Live in a way that could be profitable. But, like you said, number one, they're cost cutting right now. So who knows if they want to take that risk, because there would be a risk. And on top of that, you'd be allocating resources to it, where right now they don't have to
do that. They really seem like they want to do that. Mm-hmm. Another thing PW Insider mentions, quote, "The vision seen the last several weeks is very much in line with the original plans for 205 Live before Vince McMahon decided to get personally involved with the direction of the product and the nurturing of 205 Live talents, who may end up being the last generation of talents McMahon worked with on a specific one-on-one basis to groom."
Yeah, and I mean, look, here's the thing. I'm not going to crap all over everything Vince does. I think Vince does a lot of great things.
I mean, if he was behind nurturing Drew Gulak, his work on 205 Live has been great.
If you take a look at the entire Zoe train, and I get cringe just thinking about it,
Tony Nese, his personality really developed in a way that we were both wildly entertained by.
Yeah.
Same, obviously, Drew Gulak, the standout guy. Daivari found personality. A lot of these guys, I mean, granted, we'd love to see the performance, but you do need some aspect of a personality. You need to know who they are.
You need some personalities to motivate the matches.
Right, exactly.
Because otherwise you're just going to have random matches thrown together.
Mm. The next little interesting bit here from the Wrestling Observer newsletter this week is that Vince McMahon, even though he said at the XFL press conference that there would be no changes as far as his role in WWE goes with forming of the league, the feeling is that Triple H will gain a lot more control just based on the fact that he'll have to because it's only 24 hours
in a day. This seems like conjecture on Meltzer's part because I know Vince said he was very clear that, and granted, who knows if this will be the case, that at the press conference, that he made it sound like, I'm literally just putting the money into this.
Yeah.
I'm investing in this venture, which I'm also an own. But in terms of day-to-day operations, I'm hiring people to do all that. So, yeah, he'll probably oversee the XFL to a certain extent, but I don't know. And granted, this is Vince. He's a control freak. It's entirely possible that he can be overseeing it on a very minute level.
Yeah.
Or he could do as he says. I'm going to hire people who know what they're doing, know how to run a football organization, and have them run it. I'm inclined to believe it's probably the former because he is such a control freak.
Yeah, I kind of believe that. But look, dude, the XFL is a massive undertaking.
Yeah.
And I get that. Yeah, you can toss your money, but the bottom line is this is his money that he's putting into it. I mean, I'm sure he might get some investors or whatever, but this is his legacy project basically, and it has his name all over it.
He probably won't be out in front of cameras. I believe that. He doesn't seem like he's not hardly ever on Raw or SmackDown.
He's got 2 years to put this thing together. He's going to have to be
delegating
stuff. And then on top of that, like you say, he is a notorious control freak.
Yeah.
So this is going to be, hey, what's this over here? Oh, these are the graphics that are going to run on there. Hold on a second. That's the wrong red. I can totally see that being the case.
That blue needs to be darker. That blue needs to be all the blue plus dark.
I know. That red is not color safe.
Exactly. Make it out of the saturation. Yeah. So I don't know. I would find it really difficult to believe that Vince is going to hire a bunch of people that he feels can do the right job, and then he'll just go back to,
But at the same time, maybe he's getting up there in years. Maybe he learned the lessons the last time he tried to run the XFL, where he was literally just exhausting himself based on the documentary.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
I know he's a notorious work addict. He probably sleeps 3 to 4 hours a night. But at the same time, as you start getting older, you can't put forth that much energy anymore. He tries, but in that press conference for the XFL, he looked exhausted.
He looked absolutely exhausted.
He looked like he'd rather be anywhere else.
I know.
If you're investing $100 million of your own money into this endeavor, you would think it'd be something you'd be excited about.
Well, it's also, dude, you got to think, okay, you give me some flack because I'm always tinkering with stuff. And sometimes you feel it's unnecessary. To me, I absolutely believe that sometimes it is unnecessary. I have a really hard time just letting things be. I really do. And especially if there's a new, bright, shiny project.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, man, I really want to be doing this right now. And that could be the XFL defense. I would think that he has to understand. I mean, if people look at 205 Live, if he looks out at the crowd, he says, I'm not in this anymore. But then he notices that people are chanting, this is awesome, where they weren't before, they were falling asleep before. Don't you think he would say, NXT just got its best 5-star match first 5-star match since Punk Cena. Maybe Triple H knows what he's doing.
It'd be interesting if it took that long for him to come to that realization.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying maybe he hasn't wanted to see the writing on the wall. Maybe he's in enough stuff that he'd be satisfied leaving. He's at freaking gorilla position, man. Are you kidding me? You saw Kevin Owens' documentary. Are we good? No. Why are you even there?
I know.
You have other people who can be doing that stuff. Did you see that? It was just on Twitter. I don't know how long it's been around, but I saw it on somebody's Twitter feed. There was a little leaked video from, I think, an episode of SmackDown ages ago of Michael Cole talking into his headset during a commercial or something saying, are you sure you want me to say that again? Because I've said it a shitload of times already. And then there's a pause, and he says, okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, yes, sir. And it seemed like he was, McMahon was probably yelling at him.
Wow.
Like he just cursed at him. He doesn't need to be there, you know? Go do the XFL. I find it hard to believe. I mean, you're right. It is the kind of thing where,
well,
it seems like the kind of thing where it can be either way, but regardless, he's a control freak. And he's got something that I think he can trust in Triple H and Stephanie.
Yeah, and also I think, you know, we've been hearing for a while talk of you know, when they're asked the question, well, would you ever sell WWE? And it sounds like they're kind of entertaining it.
Yeah.
Or we willing to listen.
Yeah.
And you have this Triple H assuming control of 205 Live, of course, or he has control of NXT. Vince kind of diverting at least a portion of his focus over the XFL. And granted, he said he's not going to be, you know, hands-on. Mm-hmm. Who knows if that's true. But you can see little clues maybe here and there that he's also that he is not traveling quite as much.
Yeah.
Little bits where he's maybe taking gradual, tiny little steps back.
Yeah, right, right,
being
right.
So involved with everything.
Yeah.
So maybe this is just going to be baby steps with him. He has to take a couple little steps back, make sure everything's okay, a couple more steps back, make sure everything's okay, especially if he is such a control freak.
Yeah.
He wants to know that whatever he's doing is going to be in the best hands. So there's something else that Meltzer mentioned here in The Observer. Talks about Triple H assembling his team in NXT, which is where the Borash thing from last week is a lot bigger than just a hire of a guy, and there are other people who have been talked to of late with the idea of being his team and coming up to fill the key positions when he's in charge, whether that's next year or the year after. He talks about running NXT being a different beast entirely than running WWE, but says, you know, the way NXT is put together in terms of booking and long-term plans could be a good thing for the main roster.
Yeah, who, I think it would be. Who is out there having dinner with Ronda Rousey cutting deals?
Triple H,
you know.
Well, that's like one of his, that's literally his title.
Talent relations.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he does. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where you don't want to get your hopes up too much.
Yeah.
Because it's Vince.
Yeah.
And, like, I've always felt that there would be one. I think I said this in our predictions. I think, you know what, I said this in our predictions, not this past January, but, like, before, where I said Vince McMahon would have one more grasp at power before he relents.
Yeah.
We might have just seen that.
Maybe.
And now he's maybe on the relenting side of things.
Who knows?
I really hope so. For no other reason than my prediction will come true.
A couple years too late.
Well, no. We were just getting around to it now. Finding out about it.
Well, I think you were trying to say that year it would happen. So unless we can...
I said it was going to happen in 2017.
Well, we don't know for sure if that's actually the case. No, you said it would happen in... Oh, yeah, sorry, 2017. We don't know if that actually happened, though.
We do, because he was doing 205 Live, and now he's not. That was one last power grab.
I don't think he necessarily called it a power grab. That's just him, as you like to say, finding the new bright, shiny new thing and wanting to play with it.
We'll see how the booking goes for the rest of the year. They really need to turn around SmackDown. Triple H just needs to say, hey, look, you guys just take care of Raw for now. I'm going to go to SmackDown and clean up some business. Because, man, this is not good. What's this business about now? We haven't really talked about this, but... They're tossing in the winner of Ziggler versus Baron Corbin into the main event at Fastlane.
They had no sense.
Nothing to do with the storyline.
Nothing.
Leading into Fastlane, and they're just matches being thrown together. We haven't even gotten Dolph Ziggler coming back and cutting a promo saying...
No, but he said on Twitter, I see you responded to my agent's phone calls finally. Something about meeting my demands for Mania. See you Tuesday.
Is he going to have a promo before he comes out on SmackDown?
See, if they're going to pull this kind of thing, then don't have him come out for the Rumble.
I know, man. I know.
It's awful.
It's really bad. It's a mess. That's why we need Triple H.
No long-term vision.
What if we find out Triple H has been booking SmackDown, like, the whole time? Like, this is his vision for SmackDown.
Well, he just proves that he doesn't always know what he's doing.
Terrible. I don't know what I'm doing. Anyways.
Moving on to our next story, CM Punk.
His big return.
Maybe.
To Chicago and UFC.
Yeah, I guess UFC 225 is taking place in Chicago. Oh, no. And from MMAfighting.com, this is what I had to say. The UFC is currently discussing booking a CM Punk versus Mike Jackson fight for UFC 225. All right.
How about that Quincy Jones interview?
Yeah, I read that.
That was good. Did you hear about Richard Pryor's wife?
Yeah.
She said, yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah.
That's great.
That is great.
That's awesome.
This is from them again. Quote, according to multiple sources, discussions are in the early stages with no final decision made just yet. Jackson lost to Gall via first-round submission in February 2016 in a fight for the right to fight Punk.
So when you first said Mike Jackson, I was like, that name sounds familiar. And then you said, yeah, he lost to Mickey Gall. And I was like, that's right. And what's funny is that I remember when that fight was going to happen, somebody asked Dana White, because Dana White seemed pretty sure that Mickey Gall was the guy. And somebody said, well, if Mike Jackson pulls this off, is he going to fight Punk? And Dana White said, no, that's not going to happen. And I don't know what the reasoning was exactly, but I remember distinctly him saying, no, it doesn't work that way. Like, that's Gall was already the guy. So, I mean, this right here saying that it was
like a fight in fight.
It was a fight in fight. I don't think that was... I remember very distinctly him saying that.
Anyways, according to MMAfighting.com, apparently Mike Jackson has been provoking CM Punk on social media.
Mm-hmm.
In the hopes of being his next opponent.
Yeah.
In the octagon.
So, I don't know, man. I mean, Mike Jackson lost in 45 seconds to Mickey Gall.
Yeah, CM Punk lost in 2 minutes and 14 seconds to
Mickey
Gall.
And that's still, Mike Jackson hasn't fought since then?
Not in the UFC.
I mean, he's had to have taken on other, like, local fights.
I would think so,
yeah. Since then.
My understanding that he has not fought in the UFC since that Mickey Gall fight.
Yeah. I'm trying to see, let's see here. Go ahead and keep talking about something else.
Hold on, I'm looking up his record. Yeah, near as I can tell, he's just had that one professional fight. The one UFC fight. So, is this going to improve CM Punk's odds of winning?
Okay. The odds, yes. It'll improve his odds. So, like, his odds were, what's, like, really long odds against Mickey Gall? They're, like, slightly less long against Mike Jackson, I guess?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, Mickey Gall was better than Mike Jackson, so that makes Mike Jackson, you know, a better opponent for CM Punk.
Yeah.
CM Punk will get destroyed.
Okay.
Let me ask you something. Now that you've seen CM Punk in action in the UFC.
Uh-huh.
How does your – what's your take now on him versus Mike Jackson versus what your take was against Mickey Gall?
I have not seen Mike Jackson fight, so I don't know.
Understanding the knowledge, though, that he lost in 45 seconds to Mickey Gall.
I would like to think that maybe Punk would last longer than 2 minutes against Mike Jackson.
Oh, I'll give him that. I think
he lost a round.
No, because at some point you have to engage.
Yeah.
But was it as long as 2 minutes? It felt because he was able to scramble a bit on the ground.
Yeah, yeah. He didn't
and not immediately get tapped out.
Yeah.
I think he's gonna dance around a little bit.
You don't think he's gonna come out?
No.
Full head of steam. Like
I would think if there's anything that he's learned, it's that you can't just come out and just swing wildly at whatever.
At a trained fighter, yeah.
Right. Exactly. So I'm gonna say it's not gonna last a round. Mike Jackson will win in the first round. Probably by tap out, probably by submission.
I'm going to say CM Punk's going to last the whole round.
Mm. Again, this weird misplaced optimism.
How is it misplaced? I'm hopeful. I want the guy to do well.
Hey, I tell you what, if that first round bell rings, CM Punk should celebrate like he's Lex Luger.
Heck yes.
Everybody should come out and hoist him up on his shoulders.
Yep.
I lasted a round in the UFC.
Yeah.
Even if it's running away from a dude.
Yeah.
Because he's going to, as soon as it engages,
yeah.
That's when it happens.
Yeah.
That's when he's going to lose.
He's been training another 2 years. I mean, he learned some actually had to, get out of, you know, situations like that.
I don't think so. He trained for 2 years in the first place.
I know, that's not very long for an MMA fighter. The people train their whole lives to do this stuff.
He's had 4 years to train.
Yeah.
What if
he somehow wins?
You said that last time.
There's 2% botch, man. 2% fluke.
Oh, there's a 2% botch. There's always a 2% botch.
What if he pulls that off? What if he wins?
He's not going to win.
But what if he does? There's a 2% chance he does.
I really just want the results of Mickey Gall versus Mike Jackson.
Do you think he'll try to fight again if he wins a fight?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, man. What if he loses? Are you going back to wrestling then?
Please? Please?
Can like you show, please up, show up at All In. Show up at the All In show.
I know. I would love that. I would love that.
To wrestle. Just show up. Just in some capacity.
It's not good. I think the idea of... It's so dumb. Here we go. It's so absolutely silly. Let's see if Dana White.
What, CM Punk wants to fight?
Goals and so on to fight. No, man. You know, there was a bunch of media before it, and I swear Dana White said.
All right. I'm sure if
gonna happen.
You got it right or wrong, someone will point it out in the comments.
There you go. Somebody correct me.
There you go.
But I do think it's funny that they what ideas do we have? I don't know. The guy that couldn't get past the guy that beat CM Punk. I guess him. He's still 0-1 in UFC.
Yeah.
After two long years.
Yeah.
I don't know. That'd be great. He'd come back to pro wrestling. I don't know. I don't even know if I'd want to see him now. The company's moved on.
Yeah, I know. That's why I say the show up at the All-In show. Don't even have to wrestle. Just show up. Cut a promo or something.
Ugh, God.
Pipe bomb.
Nobody wants. Just, you know what? Go write comic books.
Yeah.
Be new.
That's what I show up on The Talking Dead.
Yeah,
that's still
exactly.
on. After Walking Dead?
Oh, yeah, of course.
He's been on there a couple times.
That stuff is super, that stuff is very profitable.
Yeah.
They have an after track.
Oh, really?
For Discovery.
Mm.
Oddly, I haven't watched it.
That is weird.
That is weird, right?
Yeah. Why have you been invited to join the panel?
I never even thought about that. We have an audience.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I could speak on that shit.
All right, make it happen.
Better than anybody. Oh, man. Why is this next story not non-news? If I knew this, I would have put it in
because Jeff Jarrett was involved. So Sports Illustrated was talking about in their Week in Wrestling that Matt Hardy now owns everything Broken Universe. All the IP. It's all done deal. Saying that all the trademarks were transferred to Hardy at the end of January. But they also mentioned that Jeff Jarrett played a pretty large role in the whole legal battle.
What the heck?
At first, saying to Ed Nordholm that, quote, Jarrett doubted that the broken character could ever draw money. Something that's funny for him to say.
Yeah, I know.
Which ultimately led to Hardy's exit from Impact to return to WWE. Jeff Jarrett, who never drew a dime.
Yeah.
Saying that.
Yeah.
And then they added, quote, Jeff Jarrett and his advice to Nordholm served as the culprit that caused the entire dispute.
He's just a menace. He's a menace. He makes everything worse.
Here's the thing, though. If Jeff Jarrett thought the broken gimmick wouldn't draw a dime, let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go.
I don't get that. He's not going to draw a dime with it, so protect it with everything you have.
I don't understand that.
Ruin your reputation over this.
I know. Like, release, private conversations with people at WWE.
Exactly.
To support our case.
Hey, this thing is worthless. You should completely ruin
your
business reputation.
Tooth and nail for it.
Exactly.
You should
what is that?
Sabotage the entire future of our company for something that we don't think
would ever draw a dime. Exactly. For the one thing that actually popped our ratings.
I know.
It's never going to draw. Do you not know how to read numbers? They're pretty easy. Meltzer reports on ratings every single week. You can see which ones go up and which ones go down.
You have to be subscribed to the newsletter. You can go to Impact's YouTube channel. You see the videos with the most numbers on the news?
Yeah.
Those are the ones people watch.
Those are the ones people enjoy. Oh, my gosh. He's a menace. What is he doing, man?
I don't know.
God, I don't know. Was he just, drunk and trolling him or something?
I don't know. Again, I have no clue.
What a mess. I mean, that dude thought it was cool to be throwing freaking tortillas at the crowd in AAA. Came to the ring. Hey, look, man, either he was in character inebriated or shoot inebriated. Yeah. I don't know which one.
Let's talk about this because this seems ridiculous to me, and I think you agree, Steve. So in this week's newsletter.
So hold on, preface this. I love Dave Meltzer.
He's a great historian.
He's a great historian, and
I'm sure he has his connections. He has his contacts. He gets his news. I just feel like some.
Well, he knows the Young Bucks.
Yeah. Some of his analysis, some people. Here's the thing, he speculates and people take that as news sometimes.
Yeah, I know.
And that's not necessarily his fault.
Yeah.
But then sometimes, I'm sure he gets information. Maybe the analysis of it just comes off as a little off. And this is one of those cases, I think. This is what the newsletter had to say today, talking about Ronda Rousey signing. Quote: "The key to Rousey is more about Stephanie McMahon, which is why they want that super high profile match. Stephanie McMahon is a big star in wrestling, but she is not a mainstream star at all. It was explained to me that the key in all this goes back to what made Vince McMahon a big star, which was a program with Steve Austin." So if I'm getting what he's saying here, is that they signed Ronda Rousey to fill the Austin role to build up Stephanie McMahon as Vince, essentially.
So if the point is Vince is on his way out, we need a new high-profile crossover face of the company, a la Vince McMahon, because everybody knows who Vince McMahon is. So we need to generate that. Let's.
They have Triple H right there. Triple H is right there.
Well, I'm simply trying to figure this out.
Well, here, the way he frames it, he talks about like the financial stuff. And the way he frames it in the newsletter makes it sound like all that is secondary to this reason.
Right, exactly.
Which has to be absolute BS.
Yeah.
It has to be, oh, Ronda Rousey's going to pop ratings and give us a better TV deal. Oh, here's another maybe potential upside.
Right.
We could help build up Stephanie as like an heir apparent on TV to Mr. McMahon.
Yeah.
That's a nice little, that's gravy. But that's not the main thing you signed Ronda Rousey for.
Yeah.
You signed Ronda Rousey to pop ratings to bring in mainstream viewers. Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
But to say that the primary reason for it is to get Stephanie McMahon over is madness.
It's as if they're sitting around a table, we really need to get Stephanie McMahon over. We really need to make her another Vince. We really need to do that. How can we do that? What about if we sign a huge MMA star like Ronda Rousey to get Stephanie over as a big villain character?
You know what this means, too, though? A bunch of episodes are opening with a 20-minute promo from Stephanie.
Yeah, I know. If
it's true. If it's true.
And again, I feel like this is... Sometimes he speculates based on... Yeah, I don't know. Is there anything in there that indicates that that's actually based on insider info?
Well, he just says... Where did he say it? Stephanie... It was explained to me.
And
the paragraph that precedes what I just read was, quote, as far as Rousey goes, the key item not really talked about is the goals and a major reason why she is there from a company standpoint. All the different questions about her value to the company financially, I'm told, are secondary.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, that has to be.
That's bullshit. Let's break the bank just to make Stephanie a star? But then there's also this part right here. Triple H said during a recent conference call via PW Insider that WWE is finalizing Rousey's contract, but that, quote, it's a multi-year deal, and they are going to be her priority, and they have first look on everything. She wants to be in the DNA of the company and wants to make this their life now. Her life, Ronda Rousey's life.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I would be really surprised if, like, they decided to bring her in because they felt Stephanie needed to be.
Yeah, it seems ludicrous.
It sounds completely bizarre.
Yeah. Welcome side effect if it happens. Yeah.
Right, exactly, yeah.
But primary reason? No way.
Not a chance.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. That's out of the realm of logic.
Yeah.
So, but no, that is kind of interesting. I do like this aspect, though. This is kind of what we hope. It's a multi-year deal, and the WWE is going to be her priority. They have first look. She wants to be in the DNA of the company, so she wants to be WWE superstar. That could mean more than the Brock Lesnar schedule.
Yeah.
You know, that's cool.
You know, I mean, what, Brock probably works, what, 50 dates a year? Mm-hmm. If that. Probably like 30.
Oh, yeah.
I can see her working 75 to 100.
Yeah, you'd think so.
At least.
I mean, it's going to be kind of interesting how, because at a certain point, I mean, okay, here's the thing. So John Cena, huge crossover star guy, right? How many dates a year does he work?
Oh, right now?
Yeah. 100?
No, think of that.
Right. And he is considered kind of on another level because he's John Cena. Anybody who's working like a full-time schedule, like all TVs, right? They come off as part of the roster.
How about this? Randy Orton doesn't work the full-time schedule, but he's on most TVs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
SmackDown. I think he gets weekends off for the most part. So he's probably working, what, 150 days a year?
Yeah.
As opposed to 250?
How are they going to keep...
Something like that?
How are they going to keep her...
And if she's... Sorry, I mean, interrupting. She's still pretty green in terms of wrestling aspect. Being out there and doing live events is a great way to...
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
To harness your craft.
Yeah, for sure.
Storytelling in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that's a part of everything.
Yeah.
But I doubt she's going to be working full-time. And we said this back when...
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I don't know. I'm really curious how they're going to handle this. Like, at a certain time, when you're full-time, when you're in the DNA of the company and you're up there with the roster, the luster starts. I mean, this kind of goes back to what you were talking about last week. If you're going to be that much in the company, the luster is going to wear off. If you're not showing us something else,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, at the end of the day, she has to perform. Sorry, I said.
And it could be, and no, I love that phrase. And it could be that, hey, you know, Triple H, we've said he's got it where it counts in NXT and 205 Live. If he's the one who's saying, hey, I know how to handle this.
Well, and hopefully, I'm assuming she's been at the Performance Center several times. He's probably seen her work out.
Yeah, yeah.
She trained. I know she's. I've read that she trained with Charlotte and Becky Lynch and several mm-hmm. other main roster wrestlers.
Right.
So maybe he's seen what she can do already at this early stage, and mm-hmm. is hopeful that it's just, you know, she's already this far along this soon. Sky's the limit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, the bottom line is, here's the thing: in the UFC, if they make the arm bar, what is that called?
Well, like a cross arm breaker.
Cross arm breaker, yeah. If they make that her finish, in the UFC, she would apply that to people when they didn't want her to. Yeah. You know what I mean? That was
in a matter of seconds.
In a matter of seconds. And so all she has to do in the WWE is do that,
mm-hmm.
and then not like actually break their arm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it'll probably look legit.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, but yeah, they're gonna have to figure out stuff with like her promos. Who they, you know, if they're gonna put her with Heyman, which I've heard. It's gonna be interesting if the luster on her stays bright, if her star shines. They seem to figure that, because I mean, you know, there's also gonna be the element of once she's on the roster. And you see her at every TV. I mean, is there going to be like the Roman Reigns effect where it's like, oh my God, they're just pushing her at the, you know, the rest of the women are taking a back seat because they're pushing the crap out of her and we're tired of her being shoved down our throats and she's not even that good of a wrestler.
Yeah.
She never talks. Yep. They have Heyman doing all the time. So it's going to be interesting.
In the end of the day, she has to deliver in the ring.
Yeah.
She'll do say what you will about Brock Lesnar. When he's motivated, he'll deliver. His match against AJ Styles was great.
Yeah.
At Survivor Series, his match against Samoa Joe, save for the abrupt ending, was really good.
Mm-hmm.
SummerSlam, great match.
Mm-hmm.
So when he's motivated, he can don't even bother looking at his first run at WWE. Since he's been back.
Yeah.
When he's motivated, he can still put on good matches.
Yeah.
And take into account what he did from 2002, 2004, a lot of really good matches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he has the track record of putting forth. Yeah. Again, nowadays, when motivated, quality matches in the ring.
Well, and then, you know, I look at
Roman Reigns and putting together good matches, so people throw crap all over them.
Yeah. I look at Ronda Rousey's friend, Shayna Baszler, mm-hmm. and I love her. Mm-hmm. I think she's great. And if they can tap into that creatively somehow, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll be interesting. You know, it'll be something else. I don't want to see the rest of the division buried under Ronda. And nobody wants to see that,
know?
So, yeah. But, no, I agree with you. I read that, and I was like, that sounds like a crock.
Yeah, that sounds like someone feeding Dave potentially some misinformation.
Yeah, which is, I mean, that's such a weird – I would never have thought of that as even a –
If you said make a list of the 10 reasons why they're going to sign Ronda, that would not be on there.
I know.
Wouldn't enter the realm of possibility.
I know. Exactly. I don't get it, man.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Anyways. They're going to have her, licensing. Are they going to make action figures and shit with some Ronda Rousey? That's cool.
They probably will. They have those shirts up right away.
Oh, for sure, yeah. No, I think they're going to. I'm just saying, that'd be kind of cool.
That'd be cool.
You know.
One last story, following up on the whole Booker T, Corey Graves beef earlier in the week.
Hey-o.
Sports Illustrated had this to say, quote, sources close to WWE confirmed that Booker did this to give a little extra heat to Corey, who plays a heel on television, on his way out, as well as give some extra attention to Booker's show. Now that he is off Raw, this seems to be confirmed by Meltzer, who said, based on comments from those in the company, there probably is some underlying truth in the sense that Booker felt that Graves is making him look bad on Raw, but they may also be reading too much into what is clearly an angle.
Yeah, they might be reading too much in the 70 McMahon thing. Whoever he's talking to, he needs to write a stern email to that person.
I know.
So I feel like you're bullshitting a lot.
I know. One person internally noted to us that they are expected to continue doing this, but they can't see how it can pay off since Graves will not be allowed to do a match due to concussion issues.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of figured it was
because I think it's funny.
That's kind of what I think, yeah. I mean, how many – we've heard that over and over. Like, how many times – yeah, keep on. We're doing the Emelina thing because it's funny to us.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
They're just ribbing each other.
That's cool. I like that as an aspect of the Sports Illustrated bit to it.
I'll give
a little extra heat to Graves, who's the heel on TV.
Yeah,
I like that. That's cool. Again, who knows?
Yeah,
they do. But yeah, I don't know. Figured it was a work.
Oh, yeah. Especially when Booker T brought WrestleMania.
Yeah, exactly.
That was kind of the huge...
Well, so what do you think? What was it? WrestleMania or saying that if he saw him on the street, he would attack him?
Well, I mean, when I first read that, I was like, that doesn't seem like someone who's... Like, Booker T's running for mayor.
Right, exactly.
You know, typically, political candidates don't say that kind of stuff. Typically.
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 We're in strange times.
But then when the word WrestleMania was entered into the conversation, I was like, okay, this is all a work.
Yeah, Booker T's pointing at the sign. Yeah. Anyways, good stuff.
So we have the news today.
What's that?
So that's what we have for the news today.
That's all we got today. That's all we got. Anyways, that's it for now. Put some out music on. Hilton. I miss Hilton already. He's over there at the All-Star game. He's doing great things.
Very proud of him.
And I'm very proud of myself for having mentored him to this point where he's doing the NBA All-Star game. If you go to the NBA All-Star game and you're joining the in-arena festivities, they are directed by our former intern,
our good friend,
struggling Brian Hilton. I'm going to play the music one last time in honor of him. Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.